Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Thank you. Hey. Okay. Do you think we could have my slide up, Ryan? Oh, good. Well, it's good to see you all. And we're going to talk about kingdom family today. But let's just pray first, okay? Let's just pray and invite the wonderful Holy Spirit to come. I love him. I love her. She's fantastic. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come now. Kingdom of God, come. We love what you've been doing all through the service. And again, we just bring ourselves to you and say thank you. Thank you for the angels that came in. Thank you for their ministry to us, the way in that they enabled us to worship and to adore you, Jesus. Thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you that you came. Every part of you came. Thank you so much. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, Sharon said, feast on Jesus. Oh, wonderful. Feast on Jesus. And then Andy last week said, feast on our innocence. And today I'm going to say, feast on our relationships. So that's where we're looking. We're looking at kingdom family. We're looking at us and our relationships with each other and why they're so important. But if you want to do the next slide, you will. Last time I spoke, I showed you this. Next slide. That one. And if you remember, I was saying that this was my pictorial representation of us as a church. And here was Kingsway, and we're under an open heaven. We pray, your kingdom come. That's what our regular prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. We're asking for what God does in heaven to be here amongst us on earth. And I was saying that we have a culture, and that culture, which is this here, is us, how we react, behave, respond to each other, and that it's shaped by the prophetic words that we've had over us as a group of people, that we are a people that dance to a different beat. You don't quite often find many Kingsway-type churches. We're often a different beat, that we're an apostolic worship centre, that we have a regional impact. No wonder Tony's encouraging us to worship, because that's a prophetic word over us as a group of people, that we are this worship center, a place where his presence dwells, where the miraculous is normal, where he comes and he breaks chains and brings life and freedom for people, where Rob can walk in not knowing Jesus and comes to know Jesus. People find life here, because he's here. And because of that culture that he's creating, there's God encounters, people change. And all of that is based upon our values and beliefs like love. God is good all the time. Honor and significance. Jesus did everything. His presence, I am with you always. Revelation, nothing's impossible. Okay? So those values and beliefs form with behaviors. And over time, we'll look at the behaviors that help us with all of that stuff, okay? But today, I want to just concentrate on two important elements for us. One is family. We know of ourselves as a family. We know that that's what we call ourselves. We're family. You know, we sing happy birthday to each other because we're family, and that's what family does. And also, we're looking at honor. And honour is not just clapping and cheering when somebody stands up or when we have new students from the school here. That's one element of honour. Honour goes much further than that. And we're going to look at honour and we're going to look at family. So that was just my introduction for you to like set the scene, if you like. But let's next slide. But I wanted just to start off by looking at a relationship that there was in the Bible that was very, very fruitful, Barnabas and Paul. And here we're seeing, you know, friendship and mentoring going on. We're seeing an interaction of two people, two very gifted people. And yet they each needed each other. So let's read some scriptures. Acts 9, verses 26 to 30. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Of course, this is at that point. I mean, Saul has been killing Christians. He's been given permission to go and drag Christians out of their homes and kill them. He was involved with the stoning of Stephen. And no wonder the apostles were apprehensive about this guy who says, oh yes, I've become a Christian. Me and you would have that, are you sure? You know, we'd have that questioning doubt in our minds about this guy, because it's only last week we heard that you were stoning Stephen. And now you want us to believe that you actually have become a Christian. So verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So immediately you see in this relationship that Paul needed Barnabas. Barnabas was the way in which, you know, Barnabas believed in him. Barnabas knew that he had given his life to Jesus, knew that that Damascus Road experience had really changed him. And so now, to be able to be allowed into the apostles or get a view with the apostles, he needed Barnabas's help. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Now, I think probably it was Tarsus that he got a lot of his revelation about grace. And he was there, I think, for 3 years or more. So you can see Paul needed Barnabas to help him be integrated into the church. Let's go over to Acts 11. Verse 22 to 26. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas is a guy that is being used by the apostles to go and take the gospel message wherever they hear that it's springing up, and of course it's occurring in Antioch, so they send him off there for him to go and assess what's happening. When he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. And Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek out Saul. Why was he doing that? Because he believed that this person Saul that was away in Tarsus, seeking after God, here again revelation, had something that was needed at Antioch. So he goes and gets him, brings him to Antioch, and of course they stay there. It says, verse 26, they stay there for over a year, preaching and teaching. And then Acts 13, 1 to 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there was a certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manin, who was being brought up with Herod and the Tetrarch, and then Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And the apostles sent them out. So here again, we get this mentoring of Barnabas, looking after Saul, as he was called then, who eventually becomes called Paul. He is being looked after, cared for, the relationship's important. God works through the relationship to enable Paul to become all that he is to become. And we know now, we can look back and think, gosh, he became something special, didn't he? But if you were there at that beginning, it would be hard to believe that this guy could actually be who he eventually became. And yet, Barnabas saw something in him. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, about how relationships are important, because it's through relationship that God works to bring out the gold that's in you. And some of you will be people who can see that gold and will encourage it in others and draw it out of them, just as Barnabas and was doing for Paul here. Let's move on to the next slide. There's loads of scriptures about the importance of relationships. Absolutely loads of them throughout the Bible. Rarely do you find it as an individual person, but we all relate to one another. You know, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You can see the inference there, that it's in relationships that you develop. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, one will lift up his companion. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, such an important statement from Jesus about the importance of our relationships, that is saying that as you pray together, as you agree together, as you are saying yes, the declaration of what is happening in heaven becomes on earth. There's something in that relationship, that potency relationship, that enables the reality of what God wants to bring on earth is done through us as we relate to one another. And look at Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Such a statement of the importance of relating to one another. There am I in the midst of you when you come together. It's not when you do everything by yourself. It's not when you are alone. It is saying that as we have become relating to one another, we realize that relationship's importance, that the presence of God rests with us. Okay, next slide. We all know this verse, 1 Corinthians 12. It's where Paul talks about the body of Christ, the church. He relates it to a body. And he's saying that all of us have different parts of our body. And if we were in the dance group, we'd be wonderfully doing the body sketch here. I used to be the eye. I used to be the eye, and I loved doing that. But other people were the foot and the hand and the mouth, etc. And Sue Wilkes made all of the costumes absolutely wonderful. But the picture here is that every person is absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. You're not an insignificant part in the body of Christ. Every part is vital for what he's doing. Some parts will have more activity. Like my hands do a lot more than my hair. When you don't have much, you know. Emily tells me that I've lost my hair. But my hands do more than my hair. But my hair is vitally important. And so it's the same in the body of Christ. All of us are of that importance as we relate to one another. Because it's together that we become all that God has created us to be. And you've got to get hold of that, because actually this is a kingdom principle that is rather different to what the world would teach you. The world teaches you, you know, of course I've worked in corporate businesses. It's all about you developing yourself to get the next post, to become more effective, to earn more money, to up there, you doing that all the time. All my personal appraisals was, Alan, in these areas you're doing well, but these three areas here you're failing. Work hard this year, make them better in yourself. And yet in the kingdom of God, what he says to us is, as you relate to one another, as you care for one another, as you respond to one another, so the greatness of what I want to do comes about. And I was trying to show you with Paul and Barnabas that Paul couldn't do what he was doing if Barnabas hadn't helped him. There is a point, actually, where the two of them separated. They had an argument over Mark and who was going to take Mark and who shouldn't take Mark, and all that thing went on. And they separated and went their own way. From then on in, you only ever hear about Paul. But up to that point, Barnabas was just key. And I know that people in this church have just been key for me. When I went to Toronto, there was a lady who was teaching about the Mother Heart of God. And as she spoke, it was just a stunning sermon about that Mother Heart of God and about his nurture. You know, when it says about, I've longed to draw you under my wings like a hen draws chicks underneath my wings, you know, that nurture of God. And we can think of it as theory. See, God, I can't see him or touch him, but he's drawing me under. It's wonderful. Until you begin to realize that the way he does it is through people. That's how he draws you under. That's how he nurtures you. And I began to see, look at the women in my life that have nurtured me. June Richards takes an arrogant young man and sees some gold and says, you could lead a service, Alan. Sharon, who cares and loves through all of the struggles and pains, and reveals that nurture of Father, the Mother Heart of God. Sue Allen, who just has been there close by over the years. And many other women who are revealing his heart, his nurture, his care. It's stunning. It's not theory. It works out through us. Let alone the Father Heart of God, as it's been revealed to me. If you'd at Brian Richards' funeral, you would have seen I was very upset. I was very upset. But to be honest with you, those tears were actually tears of joy. And it was hard to separate. Yes, I was grieving for the loss of Brian, but there was an immense joy. And I tell you why. Tom was just singing the song. This is when I really broke down. He was singing the song, you lift me up to be more than I can be. Is that the words, Tom? You lift me up more than I can be. You raise me up to be more than I can be. And of course, it's an image there of what God's doing to us. But the revelation that hit me again was, Dad, you used Brian to do that. You used Brian to raise me up to become more than I could be on my own. Oh, that's why I was crying, sobbing. Because I was just so happy with the whole thing. You won't know when I was trying to make the decision whether I should come to Kingsway or not. The Holy Spirit gave me a word. And the word was, I have planted you in a family of good people. I shared that with the vicar of the church I used to go to, and he thought it was a load of nonsense. But it was the most powerful word ever to me. Because it's like, how many years? 35, 36 years of knowing that reality, that he placed me in a family of good people who raised me up to be more than I could be on my own. So let's have the next slide. Whenever God speaks about kingdom, he's speaking about family. There's a Father God who has sons and daughters. That is the kingdom. Or we can talk a lot about the power of the kingdom. We can talk a lot about, bringing people into know Christ. We can talk a lot about the enemy being defeated and light coming, and all that aspect is part of the kingdom. But in reality, it's a family. Father God, who has sons and daughters. And we are that family. We represent him. It's a relational community, a family of believers. That's who we are. The church is not an institution. It's not a corporation and it's not a business. Doesn't matter how much you try to make it any of those things. It's not. It's a family. Yes, it can do business stuff. Yes, it can have various things that look quite like a corporation. But ultimately, it's a family. And when we realize it's a family of relational people who believe in one another, care for one another, love one another, support one another, hope for one another, stand alongside you when you're in the midst of darkness and say, no, our God can do great things and he'll do great things in your life. Stand alongside you in the total confusion of what's going on in your life and say, no, there won't be confusion. Light will come into your life. Stand alongside you when you're sick and they say, no, life will come to you because of what Jesus has done. Stand alongside you when you're saying, I feel this is where God's taking me. And you, they go, yes, yes, it is. Go for it. And you go, yes, this is how I live. I become alive because of the people around me. Just getting a bit excited then. Next slide. The heart of God is for every single person to be valued, loved, to be cared for, to be recognized, to be honored for who they are. There it is. Summarizing what our life's like. To honor people, to love people, to care for people, to recognize who they are, to believe in them, to expect good in them, to see the wonder of God in their lives and see them grow more and more and more and more, more and more into that wonderful image that Tony was talking about, that we are him here. This is a culture of honor when we respond like that to each other, where everyone gets to succeed and thrive. It's called the kingdom of God. I mean, I worked in business for many years, and people can be very successful. But there's also people who are not successful, and business hurts them. The body of Christ is not like that. It's opposite. It turns everything upside down because it believes in you, and not only believes in you, the presence of the Spirit of God is on your life, enabling you to be all that God wants you to be and do all that God wants you to do. He has already initiated it, already started it. He has already brought about a purpose in your life. He is already drawing you in. It is him that enables you through the hands and the lives of the people that are around us. The next slide. I watch the telly. I know you're very surprised at that, but I do. And I love this program called Scorpion. Does anybody else watch it? No. Oh, just one person. One person. That's good. Anyway, I like it. And I'm always amazed at how God can speak to you through anything. And he did through this television program called Scorpion. What you don't know is that this world, every day, there's a major disaster that is solved by these five people. You don't know that because it's just all kept secret. But I'll just let you in on the secret because it's just amazing what they do. Anyway, so what we have here is a group, this four people here. They are the cleverest people in the world. This one has the highest IQ of anybody. This one over here is a mathematics genius, and he can calculate anything in an instant. You know, I think they're a bit like savants, really. This lady here, she's the best mechanical engineer ever. She can build anything, take anything apart, solve any mechanical problem. She's just brilliant. And this man here is what they call a behaviorist. So, you know, people who can read body language, well, he can read it instantly and knows exactly what's going on in your life and knows when you're lying or not lying. You know, it just really has that empathy with you. And they're brilliant people. This girl over here, she's normal. She's like me and you. So, the thing was that each of these individuals, this is not real, it's a TV program, all right. Just in case you were thinking it was real. All right. So the problem was that each of these individuals' lives was really messed up. This guy here, although he was a brilliant mathematician, lived on his own because he was scared of everything. Scared that he would catch disease, scared that people wouldn't like him. In fact, he always felt that people never liked him. He couldn't get out of his room, didn't like going anywhere. And that was him. This girl here, the way she lives is to hurt people. Because if she let them get too close to her, she might get hurt. So what you do is you stop that by hurting other people. And she had a very good way of doing it. She was quite nasty. This guy here, he was a gambling drunk. Just that's the way he coped with his life. And this guy here, he was, I would imagine, he's autistic in the way that he's portraying things. He just couldn't relate to anybody at all. But in the TV program, when they came together, and they call it a family, very interestingly, they actually can do the most amazing things, like save the world every night. You know, if you watch, it's on telly every night, so it must be every night that's happening. They save the world. Things that are totally impossible, they can do. Our God is able to do far more than we can ask or think. He enables us to do the impossible. We had a whole line of people sharing testimonies last week about the impossible things that God has done through them. Oh, it's just stunning, I think, of what he's doing through us as a group of people, all right? So there was my television program, and I was watching it, and he brought a revelation to me as I was watching it. Do you want the next slide? And it's in relationships that we've become all that we are meant to be. Wow. You see, when you've experienced a life of struggling with rejection, what you do to protect yourself is isolate yourself. And of course, that's not what God wants in the kingdom. And you do it because you think that you're going to be hurt, you're going to be rejected, that somebody's going to push you away, you're not going to be wanted, you're not going to be loved. But the body of Christ is one of acceptance and of love and of seeing the best in each other and believing for the best in each other and hoping for the best in each other and expecting the presence of God to be powerful in your life and seeing things change. It's in relationships that we become all that God wants us to be. So often our Christian focus is on our individual life. How am I doing? How am I relating to God? And of course, you know, intimacy is like square one, isn't it? It's the basics. If you haven't got intimacy with Jesus, you're struggling. That's why Sharon started with feast on Jesus. Absolutely key. But he uses family he has put around you to draw out the gold that's in you. He uses the family around you to draw it out, to believe in you, to expect good in your life and to see that good come. Ben Hughes, when he was preaching the other week, I enjoyed your sermon, Ben. He said in his sermon that he thought that it was becoming more possible for us to see our dreams fulfilled because of the relationships with each other. He was indicating that he was seeing relationships grow, mature, develop amongst us. And the result of that was going to be dreams being fulfilled in our lives. And I get this prophetic head on me, and I'm starting to feel that the Holy Spirit is doing something amongst us about dreams. And, you know, it might just be that Ben seeing his dream of a CD being produced and his songs being created, as he was telling us, or Jackie, who is out in Morocco now, seeing her dream of going to Morocco so miraculously come together and feel that prompting of God to go do it. that these just might be a prophetic prelude to what God wants to do, in that he wants to do more than we ask or think of him. He's taking us into a land of fulfilling dreams. Dreams individually that we have, but also dreams corporately that we have, so that we start to see the reality of what God wants to do around amongst us. And it will come about because of the relationships that we have with one another. Do you want the next slide? I drew this for our church structure because I couldn't think of anything else that summed us up. And it's a family. And we just know that we are family. We care for each other. Some of you who have only just been in the church for a short period of time might still be trying to find your way into being part of this family. No matter, you are part of the family. And you are, will receive that blessing of being in our church and knowing this family around you. You see, he continues to raise up people like our mothers and fathers who help us all grab hold of this culture where God does the miraculous stuff around us and we start to experience it. That's what happens in a family. You know, parents, they help their children into everything that they, you know, that we're expecting for them. And it's the same thing in God's kingdom. A lady called Jane Howard said, "Call it a clan, call it a network, call it a tribe, call it a family. Whatever you call it, whoever you are, you need one. You can't be on your own or isolated. You need family. And for family, you need to work with the relationships with one another." I mean, it's lovely. Phil, I mean, when he first came, he said, "I just didn't know anybody, so what did I do? I started sending texts to people. Come round to my house. Come and be part of my group. Come be around me." And people started to go to his house, be around him. There was a family called Stephen and Jill Bailey who were part of our church a number of years ago. I think most of you won't know who they are. But after 6 months, they came to me and said, "Alan, your church is awful. We don't feel part of it at all. It's awful." So wise Alan said, "It's your fault." I said, "I tell you what, 6 months, invite people to your house. Have them round for a meal or a coffee or take them out somewhere. Do that for 6 months and then let's have another chat." After 6 months, they were the most integrated people in our church ever. It's just amazing. You're in everything. You do everything. You touch everybody. You're aware of everybody. You're concerned for everybody. You relate to everybody. How did that happen? And they said, "But it's your church. It's so wonderful. It's such a family relationship." And I'm thinking, yeah, because you actually cared for people. You had them round. You did something with them. Some of you can't have people round, but you can always go for a coffee, can't you? You can always go for the walk. You can always go and learn German. We're learning German. Ken says I'm doing very well. Ich bin Alan is as far as I've got. My computer thing I'm using says I am 6% fluent. It's very encouraging. You can't escape it. Relationships within a culture of honor are just vital. Just vital. He will use these to help you become who you are meant to be. A world changer. You're meant to be a world changer. Now you might say, "Well, I'm just a housewife, or I've only got a small job." But what do you mean world changer? The interaction that you have with people changes the world. Changes people around you. I mean, just all those testimonies last week. just shows you the impact that we've had on people. And we're only just looking at one element there, just one element. There's just loads of other ways in which we've been impacting people. And it's by these relationships that the dreams come to fruition. Those dreams that are being put into your heart now start to come to fruition. Dreams of us as a church start to come to fruition because of what he's doing amongst us. And I'm hoping I'm getting it across to you how important these relationships are, because it's through each of us, that's the person sat next to you, the one across the way that you haven't said much to over the last 6 months, the one who always sits at the back but you don't really know the name yet. It's those people that God's choosing to draw out the gold that's in you and that's in them. John Arnott said a wise thing. He said, people hurt people. Pastors hurt their church. The church hurt pastors. It's just what people do. Unfortunately, it is. Especially when they go to judging and taking offense. Offense is one of the biggest weapons that the enemy uses. It is easy to take offense. But the gospel gives you the mechanisms by which, or the ways in which, to deal with that through forgiveness and blessing for people. Don't hurt this body by the judging or the words or the cold shoulder. Don't hurt it, because it's through this body that is going to bring the gold out of your life. I'm saying that from experience of hurting people and having to say sorry. I know what it's like. I know how easy it is. But I'm encouraging you to see that this family is not just it's a nice little family. But it's the way in which God causes you to become all that he wants you to be in this kingdom through his wonderful grace. Jesus, I thank you for this family. I thank you for how precious it is. I thank you for all the different ways it functions, it interacts with each other. I thank you for all the people that you're placing here. And I thank you for the dreams that you're beginning to come into fulfillment. All those things that you're going to bring about that are beyond what we can ask or think. I'm asking you for a healing revival that impacts this church and this nation in this place. I see it in you. I see it that God's doing it in you. It is dramatic, and I'm asking it for it to become more real, so that every Sunday we have people healed of cancer, people healed of depression, people healed of any schizophrenia, people healed of any deformity, anything. Wherever Jesus went, people were impacted and changed. Wherever he was, their lives became wonderful. And he's here. And this is what that's my dream. You've got dreams as well of what you're looking for, what you're wanting to happen in the kingdom of God. And he wants to bring them out. He wants to bring life to them. And the reality is, it can only happen by the people next to you holding your hand and saying, go on. Go on. Jesus, we thank you that you have a wonderful purpose for our lives. And we love it. We love what you do. Amen.
We hope this message blessed you. If you're hungry for the more of God, If you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.